a From Dublin to Cleveland production.
Hello and welcome to From Dublin to Cleveland. I am Logan Howard. I am joined by the Ron Weasley to my Harry Potter. It is the one and only Brendan Thomas Merritt.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I was just about to say, bejakers, I thought I was talking to Daniel Radcliffe. Your glasses are exceptionally rounder than I'd remembered.
Yeah, see, this is what happens, folks, when we don't meet every week. We would know these things, but when there's such a length of time, you kind of, you know, how does the old saying goes? Your heart forgets or something like that. Absence of time makes your heart forget.
Is that a saying? Maybe.
You know, that's what my mom
says. It's an American one.
You know, I don't know if it's a thing. It's what my mom says. So, you know, we'll just go with it. Thank you so much for listening to us, as always. We are glad you're here. Brendan has been a trooper and has been doing tons of podcasts without me. I appreciate every single one of them. Can't say I've listened to them because, again, very busy, but I am so thankful for that. So he got his – so quick synopsis, Brendan, what was your St. Patrick's episode about? Was it about St. Patrick?
There were two. Mm-hmm. There was one which I think I made on St. Patrick's Day or just straight afterwards. So I think I don't know. I live such a good life. I'm sorry. I love this podcast. I do, but no one forgets it faster than I do. I assume I spoke about him. Yeah, he's great.
3 years in a row.
Right. And then the one afterwards, I remember that one. Because potentially some of the audience heard me speak Oswego for the first time ever.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So the opening was Oswego, the ending was Oswego, and the middle was actually me reading the biography of St. Patrick.
Awesome.
It's the oldest written manuscript we have found in Ireland. So presumably the first written. So yeah, people got to hear the English translation of Patrick's journey in his own words. And next year, he also wrote a letter to Caroticus, who was a soldier who massacred an early community of Christians, kidnapped some of them, and sold them as sex slaves in the continent of Europe. So I'll probably hold off the reading of that one until next year.
Maybe yes,
four for
yes.
Four.
Once everyone grows up a little bit more, you know.
Yes, we don't want premature exposure into the dark and twisty stuff.
Yes. But anyway, thank you so much for the quick synopsis, Brendan. So if you'd like to listen to that, you can listen to it. Link below. And down below, you'll find it. And we'd love for you to listen to those as well. So what we're going to do today, though, is, of course, we're coming up on a glorious time of the year for those of you in the Christian faith. Those of you who haven't, join us.
Sorry. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Okay. Join us.
Thanksgiving for some reason there. I think because I know what we're going to do, like the football activity in a few minutes. I was like, oh, don't they also have football at Thanksgiving? Okay, I forgot it was Easter Sunday.
So we are celebrating Easter, of course, this upcoming weekend. So what we're going to do today is we're going to have Easter meme review. So what we're going to do is we're going to have 23 Easter memes, and Brendan and I are going to talk about them a little bit, have some fun, joke about them. And then the thing after that is I'm going to give Brendan 4 logos of NFL teams. He's going to have to try to guess where they are from, where the city is, and what the team is called. And then we will, of course, close with God's word. So let us get into the meme review. So Brendan, if you've got yours, slide on down. Your number one meme is one with Dory, and it says, "Ugh, this Easter candy is making me sick. Oh, look, more candy."
That is me on a weekly basis. And I don't really eat candy or crisps or chocolate, but I do love ice cream. Oh my goodness. And I always loved dessert. I always would have said jokingly it was the most important meal of the day. But I was never, maybe I'm lying to myself and you. I would like to say I was never like a ridiculous dessert eater though. And then during the lockdown, I just discovered or rediscovered how incredible ice cream was. And today it dawned on me that if I had spent less money buying ice cream over the last 4 years, I could probably have gotten myself like 2 international holidays. Maybe 3. So yeah, I'm trying to cut back. So Dory is me.
There you go. All right, moving on to number 2. So this one, it says, it's a sad day when this happens. So this is a sad-faced dog, and it says, the moment that you realize that you're too old for the Easter egg hunt. So do you guys in Ireland have Easter egg hunts, or are you guys, or is that like an American thing?
What's an Easter egg?
So an Easter egg is, there's like,
I'm these joking eggs. With you. We're not like that poor and decorating. Cop yourself.
I mean, maybe you are. I don't know.
Next.
I never been there.
Your problem is that all you Yanks look at the quiet man and you think that we're stuck in like John Wayne-esque Ireland. Listen, there are things about that movie that are absolutely class. Mm-hmm. When the old lady hands your man a stick and says, here's a lovely stick to beat the pretty lady. My favorite line in cinema. But we're not that poor and backward, okay? We do have the internet.
Good.
And we do have Easter egg hunts.
Nice. All right. Moving on to number 3. It says, when YOLO doesn't apply. And this is a picture of Jesus leaving the tomb, of course. It says, YOLO, speak for yourself.
You know what? Being life and resurrection himself has its benefits, has its perks. What can I say?
It does. It does. You know, it. When you're perfect, you can live twice.
That's it. Just send that to all of your agnostic friends and see if they find it funny. They might just send you back like the slanted eyes smiley or emoji. Like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of sending things to your atheist friends, the next is this the origins of the Easter Bunny? And it has, I think, a picture of a Catholic Jesus making the bunny symbol on for like a like the puppets that you do to like project on the background if you ever have a projector. And it's just this bunny and, hey, is this the origins of the bunny?
You know what? Next time I hear people say, you know, Easter was a goddess of pagan mythology and Easter's not really a Christian, I'm just going to show them this. And I'm going to say, screw whoever taught you history. With the love of Jesus. Screw them with the love of Jesus.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Number 5. So this one has a therapist, and the bunny is laying on the therapist chair. And the quote above it says, I don't know where the Easter eggs come from, and I don't know why I feel compulsion to hide them.
It is the strangest thing.
It is so weird. I don't understand it.
I mean, a man carrying a sack full of presents. I imagine men carrying sacks full of children, but presents, I can imagine. It's not outside the realm of possibility. But a rabbit carrying chocolate eggs. It's a weird one. It's iconic. Somehow Cadbury's made it work, but it's a weird one.
So maybe for those of you who live in the States, I feel like I may have had a fever dream of this, but I feel like as a child, they had this whole explanation of like a cartoon-esque of why the Easter Bunny is what it is. And I feel like it had something to do with Bugs Bunny, but I'm not entirely 100% sure. It was very confusing and weird, and I feel like it could have been a dream. But, you know, if you in an audience know what I'm talking about, send me an email, send it to me, and I will try and find this thing and send it to Brendan. But I feel like they explained it, but I'm not sure.
Anyway,
moving on. This is one of, they're called some cards. They're these, if you've ever seen a meme, this is a meme template. It's a mom and her kid. And it says, Easter egg hunts. Proof your child can find things when they really want to.
You know those like ridiculous signs that people hang up on their walls? Like, you know, love, faith, hope. And I asked Santa Claus to take something away from me and give me something. and all he did was take away my dignity and make me fat. Those kind of nonsense things people put up on the walls.
Yeah.
That is one parents need to hang up on their walls.
Yes.
And next time their kids can't find their football boots or jersey or whatnot, just go tap the sign. Just tap that sign.
There's $5 attached to it.
Money well spent.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on to the next one. It says, and the Lord said, celebrate his resurrection with a week of rainbow egg salad. The Bible, page 57.
Tell me that's not a thing.
So
if it is, what is this?
So we color the eggs. You know, you color them for Easter or whatever. So you get your hard-boiled eggs, and then you dip them, and you color them. And then what happens is because of those eggs are colored, they leak into the egg, like the egg, the white shell. So the white shell is also kind of colored. So then you have to dice it up, and you eat your egg salad with somewhat colored eggs. So
you paint your egg shell with real life paint.
With dye.
An
Put
egg.
It in dye. Put it in dye.
Oh, that's a little bit different. Okay. Yeah. I was imagining someone just buying like a big tub of like Crayola paint, sticking it on an egg and just letting it melt onto like lettuce. It's like, no wonder half your country's obese. That's our problems. Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff. The next one. So everybody, you have to think, everybody's different on how they eat their Easter bunnies. But this Easter bunny, one of them is saying, hey, my butt hurts. And the other one says, what? And one of them had their ears eaten off and the other one started with their head. So I'm sure that will now open a debate in the comments section of which one you are, which one you eat. I go for the head, so I just eat the head right off first. I don't want that thing staring at me while I'm slowly eating it.
I would not have eaten the head first without rationale, but yeah, having seen what a literally butthurt bunny looks like, go for the head. Moving on, just go for the head. do what Thanos said to Thor. You should have gone for the head. Now we know why.
Yeah, now we know why. All right, next one is different painted eggs. They are in the grass, and one of them is painted like a camo, and he's looking at the other ones, and he's telling them, guys, I swear it's like you want to be found.
But have you ever had an Easter egg hunt and not found the egg? And then maybe like 3 weeks later when you're out in the garden, the lawnmower, all of a sudden you find it's like melted, mushed, half eaten by rats form.
Yep.
You it's happened. Just the more colorful the wrapper, the better.
Yep. Yep. Pretty much.
Takes the difficulty out of it, but at least you get the egg.
Yeah. All right. Next one. It has a bunny that looks like he's at like a supermarket, and he's like, so it's kind of like when they take pictures with Santa, except you're taking pictures with the Easter bunny. And so Easter Bunny's just sitting there kind of looking sad, and he says, I just feel like they don't care at all. Happy Easter, everyone.
You know, the Bible says that there are certain things that are shameful to speak of. I can't believe I just dignified that with a chortle. Moving on. And yes, it is the greatest pun of all time, Easter related. That was class.
Yes. Yeah. I have now found one that I think I'm going to send when Easter starts. It says, Happy Easter to all my peeps. And it's just the peep little marshmallow things that you get at Easter time.
I would have called that a chick. Okay. Maybe it's an American reference.
You call them peeps. Yep.
Okay. I'm sure it's funny if you're in the know.
Whenever I come out to visit you, I'll bring you some peeps. We've got weird flavors of peeps now. You know, I don't know if everyone's on board with all the weird flavors of peeps, but weird flavors.
How weird is weird?
I feel like they've gotten a hot peep now, like sriracha flavored or like hot sauce peep or something like that.
Okay.
I feel like you're going too far when you get there.
Yeah. Like those sweets where like the green one tasted like a freshly mowed Or the brown one tasted like dog food. Do you ever have those sweets?
Jelly beans, yeah. Those jelly beans. Yeah, no, this one's just a marshmallow that they somehow get to taste weird things. So it's a flavored.
Fair enough.
Go figure.
Or short on cash and you wanted to have a filling dinner. Worse than having pizza marshmallows.
I guess.
Placebo effect.
Next one says, when being an adult at Easter isn't all it's cracked up to be. And so it says, being an adult, pros, I can eat 28 Easter eggs and nobody can stop me. Con, I ate 28 Easter eggs and nobody stopped me.
When I was a child, I probably thought that was true. But I'm telling you, I'm more than happy just to have like one small little egg at Easter time. It just means nothing to me. Like, I still have like Christmas sweets in the wardrobe right behind me. And I have no intention of eating them this side of June.
Yuck.
That's dietary crud right there.
So apparently a running theme in this group's is bunnies and therapists, but now we have the chocolate bunny. And so the chocolate bunny is saying, I don't know, Doc, I just feel so hollow inside. And this is what we call the Easter basket case.
I'm going to look for an opportunity to use that one in real life. Just as a slur to someone I really don't like.
An Easter basket case?
Yeah. Or
just call them a basket case.
Basket case. They'll have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay.
Side note, folks, this doesn't have anything to do with the memes, but I saw a hilarious, if you ever run into people who like will tell you, you know, that there's certain things that, you know, if you're like not sure if they're he's or him's, and this is just a funny thing to do, so maybe don't do this, but just walk in and say, high fives, the 10 is speaking now.
Am I supposed to have gotten that? I'm sorry.
So like there's a thing that people do in culture where they rank themselves. So they say, you know, like you're looking for a 10 in a wife, you're going to marry a 10 out of 10.
Sure. Okay.
So that's the thing. They are, you walk in and you just say, hey, fives, a 10 is in the room and now I'm going to speak. Instead of having to worry about whether they're they or them. It's saying you're better than them. That's all it is. It's just to say you're better than them. I'm sorry. We went on a date.
But what's the connection between he, him, five, and ten?
There isn't one. It's just something to say.
I feel like...
I just Trojan horse
considerably without the exposition. That just complicated. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's okay. It's all right. Moving on. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have followed the tangent. I just saw an opportunity and I went for it.
You shot and you missed. It's okay. Yep.
It's all right. All right. Next one, back to the chocolate bunnies. And one of them saying, seriously, you should get that looked at. It could get infected. And again, people are eating people's ears off. So
I think I would be more concerned about their eyes.
His eyes are very demented.
Have you ever seen like the horror movie, The Others, with Nicole Kidman?
No, I don't watch horror movies, but I can't.
Neither do I, but I saw it as a child back when I did. And there's this like old, like I won't give too much away, otherwise it kind of spoils it. But there's an old lady with just really, really manic white eyes, and they just remind me of her.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been more afraid of the eyes than their ears, or lack thereof.
Yeah. All right. Next one. I don't think I get this one, Brendan. Maybe you do.
Okay.
A little bunny is saying to a dressed up bunny, why do they call you the Easter bunny? And I do get it now. So then the little bunny is just looking at him and he has a compass pointing at himself as he's the Eastern bunny.
Yeah, I think the curious bunny's response of, that'd be my response. And then I would ask, where did you get a compass from? Who did you steal that from? Why do you have one?
Yes. You're a rabbit.
This is wrong.
All right, next one. And this is what bunnies do when they're not delivering jelly beans. Every bunny is kung fu fighting, and it's two bunnies just look like they're knocking each other out.
I saw some of this happening once, only it was a rabbit and a cat.
Oh.
Right? And the cat very nearly like tore the rabbit to shreds. So it hopped into a bush, and then it came out like a minute later, absolutely bloodthirsty for vengeance. And my goodness, it gave that cat a whacking. And the cat ran away and never came back. It was wonderful. Well, I say never came back. I kind of left the county about 10 minutes later. But I assume that rabbit's still alive and well.
Yeah.
It was 15 years ago.
All right. We're going to skip the next two. We're going to move down, and to 19. And it's a very cute little bunny.
I can see where you're skipping that one. Okay.
There is a very cute little bunny, and he's saying, "I saw a carrot, and this pig, no lie."
I hate those kind of things because it reminds me of something that I was once sharing with someone, a story about a goldfish, and I made a similar hand gesture to the one that rabbit's making, and people took it to mean something dirty, and then they all laughed, and I was like, I'm talking about a fish, and then they laughed even more, and I felt self-conscious, and I went home. So that picture's giving me like trauma. But he's very cute looking, yeah.
Yeah.
Rabbits are great. They're my favorite animal.
All right, on to number 20. This one says, "Happy Easter," and it's a very angry-looking bunny, and he says, "I'll take your eggs this time." It's a very scary-looking bunny.
I hope that's not a real mouth.
I mean, who knows in this day and age? I don't, you know, AI is AI, so I don't know.
Like, I mean, I've heard of bunny teeth, but I don't think I've actually ever seen bunnies with teeth in real life. So if that is real, that's an unfortunate first impression. They're exceptionally clean, though. I'll give them that much. Very straight.
Yeah. All right. Next one. It's Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper, reimagined as a Zoom meeting for the age of social distancing. And he said to them, "I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And it's just poor Jesus sitting at a table by himself. And all the disciples, like, making weird faces to try and see it. It's great.
Okay, you spoke about
early
the Zoom call meetings. Yeah, exactly. I can just imagine that being like a rerun of the Last Supper were to happen in like 2020 or something. That's just
all right. We're gonna skip down to 23, and this will be the last one. So it says, "Due to unforeseen circumstances, there will be no Easter bunny this year." And it's just a picture of a cat licking his lips.
Oh my goodness! That cat is demon possessed.
I know. You see the demons in
its eyes. It's like the snake in Eden.
Probably, yeah. Well, anyway, that has been our meme reviews of Easter memes. So if you enjoyed that, send us a message. Hopefully in Brendan's video, he'll be able to put all those on there so you'll be able to see them. Hopefully we did enough descriptor to at least have a little laugh from it. But on to the next thing. So Brendan, if you would pull up your PowerPoint of all these lovely logos, and I would like you to guess for the first one, where is this place? Where is the team from? And then what is the team called?
Okay, the same color as the Falcon suit in Marvel Comics and the MCU. But I don't know what a Falcon looks like. Hawk. Black is despair. Red, I think, of communism. New York is left wing. The New York Hawks.
They are the Atlanta Falcons. Right when you said Falcon. You literally were like, "It's a Falcon." I was like, "He's going to guess Falcon." Then, nope, it's a Red Hawk. Yep. All right. Moving on to number two.
Okay, it looks like symbol you might see, like an Aladdin's flying carpet. Ah, actually, I saw Aladdin there last night. My brother got me tickets for it's Christmas. It's great. Yeah, it looks like a symbol you might see, like an Aladdin's flying carpet. Aladdin was made by Disney. Disneyland's in Florida.
Prophesy, man.
Florida carpets. Maybe it's an insect, a scarab, a D-legged, D-legged spider. The Floridian spiders.
So the correct answer is what it is a Florida lee, which is flower of the lily. And the team name is the New Orleans Saints. Now, why the Florida Lee has to do with the Saints, I'm not exactly sure, but they are the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, the third one. Okay, looks like a black panther, possibly a black puma. I do not know the difference between a puma and a panther. They're both big cats to me. Let's see, black. There was that black chick, the mayor, who has a really big forehead, fish lips, and no eyebrows. In Chicago, the Black Panthers of Chicago, which I used to think was Chicago. I was convinced there was an or in there until I saw the name of like the musical with the Cell Block Tango, and then I watched the movie. The Black Panthers of Chicago.
Man, you are very close. This is the Carolina Panthers. So you got the C correct, and you've got the Panthers correct. Oh,
good one. Good job. Is that North Carolina or South Carolina?
It's both. Their location of where they play is North Carolina, but the South Carolina people also claim them as their own.
Because you couldn't just keep it simple, how to complicate matters. Good one.
Yeah.
Okay, then the final NFL.
There you go.
Okay, see a red flag. See a skull, which harbors a striking similarity to one Nancy Pelosi. instead of crossbones, I see swords in a cross. And instead of a mast, another sword. Let's see, Nancy. where is she from? Himabob, San Francisco. The San Francisco Pirates.
California Pirates. They are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from Florida. I was thinking you might go cadavers, because it is kind of a cadaver. I was not expecting that, folks. You know, I should by this point expect a Nancy Pelosi joke to just sneak in there every single episode. I just didn't expect it.
for the children. Abortion. Children. Abortion. Children. She's just such a despicable woman. I can't hack it. I can't. And
oh man, alrighty. Well, anyway, let us get into our Bible passage for today. We will be in 1 Corinthians 15. So I'll read it for us, then Brendan can take it away, and then I will add some thoughts on top of it, and then we will send you on your way. So 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. Now, brothers, I want to clarify. Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel. I proclaim to you, you received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe to no purpose. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Brendan, take it away.
Sure. Okay. So this weekend, of course, we are celebrating Easter Sunday, or some people, like myself, like to call it Resurrection Sunday. So if you really, really want to summarize the gospel of grace, the gospel of freedom, the gospel of salvation, it is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Christ came as a man. He died the death we deserved. He rose again in new life for the forgiveness of all sins and to give us new life. And if you believe in that, you are 100% totally forever his. So I suppose when we consider Easter week, you know, let's think that Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, their Roman governor. And even Pilate seems to have known that Jesus was who he said he was. Now, he wasn't much of a chatterbox. Jesus didn't say a heck of a lot. But in the few verbal exchanges that they had, Pilate did actually ask him, well, where is your kingdom? Where are you from? He didn't say, oh, you know, do you have a kingdom in your imagination? He asks as though he actually believes that this place exists. As though, perhaps, he even knows he's standing in the presence of a god. And so many of the Roman emperors wanted that divine status. They wanted to be spoken of as though they were somewhat divine and had come in mortal form, like, you know, an antichrist, really. But he does seem to know that he was standing in the presence of someone fantastic. Now, I'm not going to pretend for 1 second that he's saved. I mean, he was a coward. He handed Jesus over to be killed. And his little, I'm going to wash my hands. No. The Bible says that your good deeds on earth are as filthy rags in heaven. Rags that mopped up period blood. So, you know, he didn't cleanse himself just because he hid behind a bowl in cowardice. And then he was making arrangements with Herod, one of the Edomite kings, later on that week. But he does seem to have known that there was something starkly, dynamically powerful and important about Jesus. And then he stood in front of the crowds and he said, listen, you can have Jesus, King of the Jews. And, you know, Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Father God, the Creator, the All-Maker. And he said, or you can have Jesus, Barabbas, the criminal. And, you know, Abba is Father and Bar is Son. So it's you can have Jesus, the Son of Father God, or you can have Jesus, the Son of the Father. That's literally what the murderer's name was. He's like an anti-Christ. He's a counterfeit Christ. And this guy was a killer. He was an upstart. He was a rebel. If you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie, oh my goodness. I mean, he's just the most hideous, wicked, disgusting, filthy thing. And even after people cheer to set him free, they don't even want to touch him. But the crowd called out to crucify the innocent man and to have a murderer released to them, because they would rather have a killer walk amongst them than a holy man who would point out their sin. It's absolutely appalling and disgusting and horrific. And it's as relevant and true today as it ever was. And after they cried out for Jesus to be killed, the king of the cosmos and the king of the world of heaven was draped in kingly attire and mocked. The soldiers bowed down to him, mock humorously. And is the same way whenever someone tells a perverted joke about Jesus, or thinks that they can blaspheme or miscarry his name. it's the very same. They're actually elevating themselves as creative beings above the creator, creator God in human form. The first time humans rebelled against God, Jesus sent thorns up from the earth to cause hardship for the laborers, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And those same thorns were then stabbed into his crown, into his scalp, into his head. What was supposed to be a curse for human wickedness, he literally wore it as a crown of mockery and disdain. He walked to Mount Calvary, the Mount of the Skull, Golgotha. And just like in Genesis 3, he had prophesied that the enemy would put the chosen one out of commission for a few days by striking his heel, but he would ultimately tread on the skull of the enemy. This was the enemy's attempt to put him out of commission. No, it was a few days. The enemy thought it'd be permanent. But Jesus defeated sin on the head, on the Mount of the Skull, on Golgotha. But even as he hung there, one of the thieves mocked him and said, oh, you know, if you're God, save us and save yourself. Well, he is life and resurrection itself, so he was going to end up saving himself after only a few days anyway. But he hung there to save us. But again, what he was actually doing was seen more as a point of mockery and disdain rather than revelation out of the mouth of this wicked thief who was perishing for good reason, because he deserved it. And Jesus descended into the depths, into hell. He took our wickedness, our sin, our shame, our evil, our pain, our trauma, right down there, and the Lord just dumped it with the darkness, with the wicked spirits there, with the demons. And I would say, personally, the demons were probably too afraid to go near him and to, you know, start, you know, poking him with sticks or chains or try to break his body apart and reassemble him grotesquely. I'd say they were far too afraid. But you can be afraid and still be incredibly arrogant. Very often, the most insecure people have the most hubris. It's the same with the demons. And that's why Colossians tells us that even the principality spirits, the authority spirits, the demonic kings, even left their thrones and platforms and castles in the sky and descended into the darkness of hell to mock at Jesus and say, oh, na 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 na. And the Bible tells us that he put them to shame. He humiliated them. He embarrassed them. Can you just imagine on the third day when the Holy Spirit descended and lifted Jesus up, the technicolor, incredible, amazing light that shone out of him so brightly, so powerfully, so tangibly. I'm sure it melted their flesh. If they have bones, it broke them. The ones with several limbs, I'm sure they got torn off them and they had to kind of staple them back together again. And there's no healing for demons. Hello, they're still in pain. And he rose up and maybe he took a little pit stop in Sheol Positive, the underworld where the righteous dead went. And we know that those who had been buried in Jerusalem, their spirits and souls actually went back into their bodies. Their bodies were reanimated and they began walking around proclaiming the goodness of Jesus. I mean, there's no reason all those horror zombie movies try to terrify you from the idea of resurrection, because God's power is dunamis dynamite resurrection power. I just wish that there'd been an extra chapter in the Bible telling us about how they got on in their evangelistic enterprises. Exploits. But for the other believers, he rose up to heaven. And he gave Elijah and Enoch, the only two men to have been raptured, some company. And then he came back down to the earth in the fullness of life, and he came out of that grave in a resurrected body, a body with supernatural abilities that could walk through walls and teleport, be here one second, be gone the next. And the incredible thing is, the only being in heaven with any disfigurement or deformity is Jesus. He still has the hold in his hands. And when he looks at them, he thinks of you. And he thinks of me. But he bore the stripes of whiplashes to purchase our peace, our forgiveness, our wholeness, that we could become the righteousness of God, sons and daughters of God, princes and princesses of the third heaven, the world of heaven, where our Father is the King. And he's preparing a place for you, a good place, a perfect place, because he knows everything about you, everything you love on the earth, everything you don't already know you will love in heaven. He's styling each place specific to each of his kids. And he is so, so excited to meet you when you die and to present you to the Father himself. And even, you know, Song of Songs talks about a garden that we have with Jesus. You know, on the earth, we have that garden in our spirit. It's a secret place where we carve out time to be with him. I believe in heaven, we all have a garden in our property. And no matter when it is, how long you've been there, how short, when you're in that garden, Jesus is going to absolutely come and meet with you. And you will spend the most wonderful, intimate time with the most compassionate, loving maker. And even now, friends, his thoughts are on you. We are told that as numerous as the sand is on the seashore, so many are his thoughts for us. If you only press a fingertip into the sand, you already have more dots of sand than you can count. So imagine an entire beach. You have never not, for one second in all eternity, been on Jesus' mind, been on Holy Spirit's mind, been on Father God's mind. The three of them have always, always been thinking about you. Good plans, perfect plans, pleasing plans. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to lead you to an anointed and appointed end. And if you believe in the love of Jesus extended to you on the cross and the empty grave for the forgiveness of sins, it is a Holy Spirit thing. It is supernatural. I can't explain it. We can't manufacture it in of ourselves, but his Holy Spirit comes and lives within you straight away and washes away every sin, every ill-spoken word, wicked deed, shameful thought, past, present, and future. That's called salvation. Then we start the sanctification process, when he begins to align our heart with his, our thoughts with his, our will with his. And that is a lifelong process. But don't drag your feet. Run in the things of God. Don't steer to the left or to the right. But if you do, know that his grace is more than sufficient and more than able to realign you, reposition you. You already have his forgiveness. You already have his desire, his love, his affection, his adoration. And he'll work on you. And he'll just continue to shape you and to change you more and more into the will of Jesus and into the image of Jesus. And then we get to glorification. That's on the day of the rapture, where if you've died, even if you were cremated and have long since turned to dust, he'll reassemble you just like he did with Adam. and he will make your perished body an imperishable body, and you will go up to heaven, and your soul and spirit will live in that three-dimensional body, because you were always designed to live as a tripartite being in the image of God, Father, Son, Spirit, body, soul, spirit. And if you're alive on the earth, he'll make your perishable body imperishable. He'll take you up into the clouds, because you are a citizen of heaven, not of an earthly kingdom of kings and priests in Israel. You're a citizen of heaven. So it's a heavenly transformation. You're a heavenly citizen. And he'll make your old, ailing, pained, scarred, bruised, maimed body whole. And it'll take you home, and you will live at 100%. You'll be more alive than you've ever been on the earth. That's called glorification. And these are all the blessings we have because of the cross. The old rugged cross of Calvary. That's why it's called good news. Over to you, Broski. Anything else you'd like to add?
Amen. Well, not much for me to add. I think Brendan said it very, very clearly and specifically. I think I'll add this one thing that my parents' pastor was going over. My parents' pastor, let me finish. He was going over the Caiaphas's prophecy, that Caiaphas made the prophecy that Jesus would die, and that he would die for the Jewish people to cover their sin, basically, but really just to cover their payment, because to them they were afraid of Rome coming down and destroying them. And they didn't want a king. The majority of the message was on how the Jewish people, they wanted a king. They wanted a king to come rule, to wipe out the Romans and take them all down. But they missed what the Messiah was actually there for. Yes, he has all those promises to rule and reign, but he was there to die and sacrifice his life for his people. And so in this prophesying that one man must die so the rest of us don't, was literally the most prophetic thing he could have said. Because it is so true that Jesus came to die so that all of us, all his, even in his prophecy, he says the word that all the followers of the Lord or all the followers of God would be saved, would be protected from that. And that is so true of what Jesus did. He died so that everyone could come to know him. It doesn't mean that he just covered your sins that are past. He covers those sins that are currently in your life. He covers those sins that are in that you might struggle with down the line. He has covered all sin forever, and he not only just died and took care of it, he also rose again and lives at as the throne and as the ruler. Everything has been placed at his footstool, as Hebrews says. All of it is underneath him. He is the ruler and reigner over all, and so that's the God we serve. If you don't serve him, you will serve him. You will bow the knee. Better to do it now here on this earth than next. But that is your choice. You know, you got to answer for that choice. But better to choose it now and better to serve him now. Because life is so much better living with him. A lot of people say Jesus' life was flipping our world upside down. And there's a lot of truth to that our world is about us and is about serving self. And his world is about serving others and serving him, serving the man who made us all, who created in each and every one of us this knowledge of knowing right and wrong, this knowledge of knowing that there's something more than us. And he's it. It's not some alien out there that you need to go find. It is Jesus Christ who's the person that's missing. He's the person that we need to find. So if you haven't made that decision, I highly recommend you make that decision. Talk to one of us, send us an email, send us a message on our Instagrams. I'm BananaMan17. Brendan Thomas Merritt is Brendan Thomas Merritt on Instagram. Send us a message. We'd love to share with you more if you don't know about how to come to know Christ your Savior. So with that, I'll close some prayer quickly and we'll send you on for the rest of your day. Lord, we're thankful for all those who are listening. We're thankful for their willingness to listen to us, to listen to two guys laugh and goof off and have fun. And we're thankful for their willingness to do that. Lord, we're thankful for Brendan. We're thankful for Brendan's time as he is 5 hours different than I am. And that can sometimes be a burden. It can sometimes be a blessing. And we're just thankful that he is willing to do that. And he's willing to take the time to do that and speak with us. Lord, we're just thankful for the ability to do 111 episodes. That is all grace. That is all due to you. And you're working in both of Brendan and my hearts. And so we're thankful for you to do that. We're thankful that every single one of them has ended with your word. It doesn't end with our words. It doesn't end with what we say. It ends with what your word says to your children. So we pray that you would continue helping us to be a blessing to those who listen. Pray that you would bring those who listen to be a blessing to us as well. Help us to serve and love each other like you asked us to and you want us to. Give us a great rest of the day. May it be honor and glorifying to you in what we say. May our weekends be honor and glorifying to you and point to you in everything we say and do and where we go and all that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, friends. We will hopefully see you soon. Have a wonderful Easter. May it bless God in the way you act and interact with others. And may God bless you through the rest of this week. Anything you want to close us out with, Brendan?
Sure thing, broski. Just probably four of my favorite words ever to have been put together. God is absolutely good.
Amen. Amen. See you all next time. Bye, friends.